Well, we're going to go ahead and get started. I know some people might be coming in kind of slowly. What's that mean? Yes, that'd be good. Thanks. So let's pray and ask for God's help. Lord, thank you just for, again, for your lavish goodness and grace to us. And Lord, we desire to be a people who are sharing that with others. And Father, that's what this meeting and future meetings are about. And so, God, would you help us? Would you help us in this area of evangelism to be doing it to please you, Lord, to be doing it not just to check it off that, hey, this is what we're supposed to do because we're a church, but, God, that we would truly have a heart to see your name and renown be great among the nations. So, Father, would you bless this time, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, thank you all for coming. We're going to stop right at 2 o'clock because the drama team is going to be coming back in here. And again, the same kind of announcements for at the end of 2 o'clock. We need to vacate out of the auditorium. Please feel free to hang out there. And thank you for doing that after. Thank you for responding so well earlier and just heading out, getting in line there. And I really appreciate that, and that served the drama team. So thanks for doing that. But I thought as we talk today, we're going to just talk briefly. Some of you are new to the Go ministry and you don't even know what that means. Maybe there's some new people in here. I'm not sure. So I'm just going to briefly explain what the Go ministry is, how that came about, then do a little short talk on evangelism, and then break down into some smaller groups and just to begin to pray. And as well, we'll have kind of an assignment at the end. So that's kind of the flow of what's going to be happening. Well, last January, here's the background of how Go Ministry came about. Not this past January, but January a year ago, the church was going through a series on the will of God. And if you remember, we took the month of January and just made that a month of prayer. And the church was open during the week and people were coming by the church to pray. And we were really praying, trying to discern God's will, what He would be calling us to do as a church, where He'd be calling us to go, where He'd be calling us to plant churches. And out of that was born a conviction, God, I think a gracious, gentle rebuke from the Lord that we had not been faithful and were not being faithful in the area of evangelism. And that why would we want to take that what we were currently doing at that point and then just export it to other churches? And so felt like God was speaking to us and saying, hey, we need to repent. And so we did some, and we just began to pray, God, help us to repent. Help us to grow in this area of having a heart for the lost and being willing to share the gospel, the only hope for the world. Help us to grow in those ways. And so out of that prayer, out of that time of repentance, and then just praying, God, how would you have us to do this? How would you have us to respond? Because in repentance, we always want to be responding, right? Not just have head knowledge, but what would you have us to do? And out of that was birthed the Go Ministry, which means Gospel Outreach. G-O stands for Gospel Outreach. And I want to explain just a little bit about what that is. We'll be meeting about four times. We did this last year. And I think God's just going to grow it and multiply its effectiveness this year and hopefully and prayerfully in the years to come. But we will meet about four times over the spring and the summer here, just like we're doing right now. And the purpose of this meeting and those future meetings is we'll do a brief teaching or spend some time talking about evangelism. During those meetings, we'll write out names. You'll pick, and we'll talk more about that at the end. Two or three people, a friend, a neighbor, a coworker, that it's your intention to share the gospel with that person this year. And so we meet, we pray for those people during these meetings that are going to be happening. But also, why do we space it out? Because we want to give you time to be building relationship with these people, to be thinking, okay, I want to share the gospel with this person at work. I want to share the gospel with this neighbor down the street. And rather than just going up, knocking on the door and throwing a gospel bomb at them, and that can be effective, I'm not downing that at all. We want to start now, this month, next month, throughout the summer, building relationships with these people. If you don't know them very well, perhaps it'd be great to be inviting them over for dinner We have a church picnic that's going to be in August this year, inviting them to come to the church picnic. But just begin dialoguing with them. And you don't have to wait until the fall to share the gospel. I mean, you can do it at any point, but we just are encouraging you to, those names that you pick out, be spending time with them, making or creating context where you can be with them, build bridges, so to speak, okay? I want to ask you a question, a little survey question. How many of you came to Christ, you were converted because you sat down and you watched a TV evangelist and you were converted at that moment? Raise your hand. Okay? One. Good. How many of you were converted as you were driving down the road and you were listening to a sermon on the radio or by tape or CD? Okay? Nobody in that category. How many of you were converted as you were reading a book and something in that book just jumped out, pointed you to Scripture, and you were converted in that moment? One. Okay. My dear wife. Book that. Never mind. Yeah, it was my mom. How many of you were converted because you knew someone, you had a relationship with someone, and they invited you to church, or they themselves shared the gospel with you? Okay. And what's the point of that? The point of that is that we need to be relating with people in order to be sharing the gospel, to see His kingdom advancing. So we want to be doing relational evangelism. There's nothing wrong with street evangelism. There's nothing wrong going to Mill Mountain Coffee and standing out there and with a megaphone and shouting out the gospel. There's nothing wrong with that. God can use that and does use that. But statistics would generally point to that people come to Christ through other people that they know and they have a relationship with. So that's why we encourage you to build bridges with people. And it becomes hopefully a part of who we are, and it's a part of what we do, not just because, again, we want to just check it off. Oh, I did that evangelism today. It begins to happen in the context of relationship. So in the fall, what we're going to start doing, again, continue with what the Go Ministry is about, is we have training, evangelism training. Now, our hope, you all know this, is not in a method. Not in some procedure. It's not in a track. Our hope is in Jesus Christ. He's the only one who saves anybody. However, He's given us tools, right? First and foremost, He's given us His Word. But He's given us tools. He's given us means to be able to help us to effectively share the gospel. When you go up to share the gospel with someone, you want to be sure you're sharing the gospel and not just some rendition of something you made up. Or some test, you know, it's great to share a testimony with people, but it might not necessarily be sharing the gospel. And we want to be sharing the gospel and calling for a response. And so what we do in the fall, I think it's 5 weeks or something like that, that we, these meetings, we've been meeting on Sundays after church in the fall, that steps up and we meet 5 weeks in a row and we go through that evangelism training. And right now we're using a tool called Two Ways to Live. And we'll continue to work with that. Two Ways to Live, I'll briefly explain it. Most of you have seen it. Just a diagram. It's a pictorial presentation that just for the purpose of helping us to remember the different parts of the gospel that have to be necessary for the gospel to be the gospel as far as what you're sharing. God, man, man's sinfulness, and then obviously Christ, what Christ came to do and because of our sin, and then the gospel calls for a response of faith and repentance. And so that little Two Ways to Live diagram helps us to walk through that and to memorize scriptures and things of that nature. So, however, I know that some of you had a hard time drawing the pictures last year, maybe memorizing the scriptures, maybe memorizing some of the little things that go that you were going to say with each block. And so this year we have a new and improved methodology. Okay? No pictures, no scriptures. It's very simple. And we want to show you a video. I came across this on the internet in a news interview. I was encouraged when I saw this and just wanted to share it with you. So, Jason, if you could roll that news clip. Yeah. When we share the gospel, obviously, we want to be sharing the gospel. We want to do it accurately. Today, what we're going to do is just take a quick look at why evangelism. Why does it matter? Why is it important anyway? What do you think? Why do evangelism? If we don't, people like that are going to be running around. No. Why do evangelism? Bring people into the kingdom. Good. What are some other motives? Obedience. Yeah, I've heard three people said the same thing and just in different ways. Jesus said to, we're commanded to. Obedience. It's the right reason to do it, right? A love for the lost. Are there wrong motives? Can there be wrong motives for wanting to do evangelism? What might some of those be? Check it off. Right. Just out of a sense of duty. I want to look spiritual. Yes, I'm Mr. Evangelist. It can be a self-centered focus. Desire to build a church just in numbers for the sake of growing numbers and not really be concerned about that. Obviously, it would be a wrong motive if we're just trying to get the offerings up to a certain level. And the way we have to do this is go have this many people come in. And now we have this many giving units is what the accountants call it sometimes. That's definitely a wrong motive. Success, reputation, all kinds of things. But you've already mentioned it. Obedience to Scripture. We want to be obedient to Christ, what He's called us to do. We want to have a love for the lost and recognize that the great hope that we have the privilege to be sharing that with other people. But ultimately, how about we do evangelism because we love God? And those other first two categories fall into that. But it has to be our primary motives. We want to glorify God. We want to love God. And when we love God more than ourselves, we love others more than ourselves, then evangelism ought to be what is just happening in our lives. Because we're excited about who God is. We're excited about what we've been saved from. And it's great to be loving Him to the degree that we are just sharing, hey, come meet a man. Come meet a man who saved me from all my sins and has given me hope and eternal life. So we want to evangelize because we love God, not because we feel guilty about not doing evangelism. Mark Dever says this. That's where I've gotten some of these notes from, is Mark Dever. He says, let the message of the cross captivate your heart and your tongue will come along. And I think that is very true. When you are captivated by the Savior, the cross of Christ, your tongue will come along. You will be evangelizing. So briefly, a biblical theology of evangelism. We're evangelical, right? Does anybody know what that means? What's it mean that we're evangelical as a church? Gospel preaching united around the gospel. All right, well, I want to read some of these notes that I'm getting ready to share with you. They come right out of your Foundations notebook that many of you haven't looked at in 4 years or however long it's been since you went through the Foundations class. But I want to start with this quote from Ralph Winter. He says, starting with Genesis chapter 12, God introduces His plan to free at least a nucleus of believers within every tribe, tongue, people, and nation. Then, from Genesis 12 to the end of Revelation, the theme of the Bible is the invasion of this evil world by God's kingdom, bringing God's righteousness and sonship into every people to all who receive Him. Now, we talked about this a little bit this morning in the message from Exodus. It started way back with Abraham. God chose Abraham, and I'm going to read Genesis 12, 2 and 3. It says, I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And listen to this. And all the peoples on earth will be blessed through you, through Abraham. And later, God commissioned Israel, the nation of Israel. He set them apart to be His holy nation, to be the ones who would be walking in such a way with their God that all the nations, all the world would be amazed. They'd be communicating this message of the great God that they served. As God's plan to bless the entire earth continued to unfold through redemption from Egypt, talking about Israel coming out of Egypt, entrance into the promised land, and the establishment of the monarchy, the kings of Israel, The writers of the Bible had much to say about the development of God's design. God had a plan from the very beginning to save a people for Himself. Started with Abraham and progressed with the seed of Abraham with the nation of Israel. And listen to what 1 Kings 8:41-42 says. As for the foreigner who does not belong to your people Israel, but has come from a distant land because of your name, for men will hear of your great name and your mighty hand and your outstretched arm. When he comes and prays toward this temple, then hear from heaven your dwelling place and do whatever the foreigner asks of you, so that all the peoples of the earth may know your name and fear you, as do your own people Israel, and may know that this house I have built bears your name. And so through the nation of Israel, God is using this people to be a blessing to all nations. And so His redemptive plan actually was set in process in Genesis chapter 3. And when sin entered the world, Adam and Eve fell. In Genesis 3:15, there's a promise of the Savior. Remember that? And He said, Satan will bruise your heel, or the seed of woman will crush your head, crush Satan's head. There's a promise already there that God's going to send a Savior. He's going to be redeeming a people for Himself. Continues the plan with Abraham. We see it throughout the Old Testament with Israel, that they are the nation that God has chosen, but He's chosen them to use them to be a blessing to all nations. All of the Old Testament points now forward to Jesus. All of the prophets, all of the Old Testament is pointing forward to Jesus as the fulfillment of God's plan of redemption. And I want to read this to you. Yet as God's plan unfolded, it was still unknown exactly how or by whom God was going to bring this great event to fulfillment, this plan of redemption. The prophet Isaiah in chapters 42 through 53 tells us that God's design to carry out His divine plan was to be accomplished through His coming Messiah, Jesus Christ. Through Christ, the divine God-man, God's plan to acquire worshipers from every tribe, language, and nation was secured at the cross. Jesus was and is the centerpiece and pivotal fulcrum of God's historic redemptive plan for the entire world. So all the Old Testament, God is weaving His plan of redemption through the Old Testament. Christ comes on the scene. And we see that in the New Testament then. Christ on the cross accomplished. Remember when He was on the cross and He died, before He died, what did He say? It is finished. What's finished? The fulfillment He now had made possible for God's plan of redemption to completely come to pass, not just with Israel, but with every tongue, every nation, every tribe. And that's what Jesus has accomplished on the cross. In Acts 2, we see the church is birthed, and the Holy Spirit is poured out. And in that moment, you know, what does Acts 2 talk about? It says, you shall be, when you receive the Holy Spirit, you'll be my, what? Witnesses to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the uttermost parts of the earth. And so, Christ didn't die just to save us so that we could be a blessing to ourselves, did He? No. He didn't send His Holy Spirit just so that we could have power, just to be more powerful, did He? No. Christ died to save us in order that we might be a part of a people, and that we gave us His Holy Spirit in order that we might be witnesses to speak and to point to the greatness of this God that we serve. We're a part of this redemptive plan. Read through the New Testament about the church, in particular in Ephesians. I mean, God's plan for the church. God had the church was not an afterthought. Church was God's plan all along. It wasn't something, well, Israel blew it, so now I'm going to have to come up with something else, and He decides to create the church. No, church was in God's mind before the church was ever birthed. But we read this in 1 Peter 2:9-10, thinking about God now, through the church, is displaying the manifold wisdom and glory of God, pointing people to our great God and the need for a Savior. And listen to what 1 Peter 2:9-10 says. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. God saved us. God's given us His mercy in order that we might be doing this Scripture, that you might declare the praises of Him who has called you out of darkness into His wonderful light. And then the last Scripture I'm going to share is Revelation 5, 9 through 10. And they sang a new song, saying, "Worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. And you have made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they shall reign on the earth." You see, the story of redemption all the way, again, from Genesis all the way through Revelation. Christ has won. Christ accomplished it at the cross. The possibility for this great tribe to be brought to God, for this nation, this holy people, to be brought to God, to be redeemed to Himself. What were the last words of Christ to His disciples? Remember in Matthew 28, 18 through 20, I believe it is. What were His last words to the disciples? "Go and make disciples of all nations." Who's He speaking to? His disciples. Who are we? And so we have the privilege. God's plan of redemption will not fail. His church will not fail. It will be accomplished, not because we're great evangelists, but because we have a great Savior, right? But what part do we have to play? He's called us, go, make disciples. And isn't it good to be on a winning team? Isn't it good to see the end and know the end result? Doesn't that help fuel your faith and give you motivation to continue to work, to continue to go out, to share the gospel with your neighbors, your friends? God's got a plan. He's going to accomplish, and He's going to do it. He's going to do it through people like you, people like me. It's incredible that we get to participate, to be co-laborers, called co-laborers with Christ. So, evangelism. It's not just point five in the spiritual disciplines, right? Evangelism is what God is doing. And we want to be doing what God is doing. We want to be a part of what God is doing. All right, here's your sign, and then we're going to break down. And any questions or thoughts about any of that? Most of you have eaten lunch and you're just fighting off sleep. I realize that and understand that. Any thoughts along those lines? Alrighty. Okay, here's what we want to do for the next meeting. Next time, I think it's in May that we meet. Think about two or three people, and we want to commit over these next several months to be praying for these people and to be asking God to give us favor with these people, that God would be working in their heart even now, so that when we go and say, "Get in here." No, just kidding. We're not going to do that. When we go to share the gospel, just want to see if you were awake. The seed falls on good soil. God has to do that work. The Holy Spirit has to be working. We can't change anybody's heart, right? We want to just be faithful to do what God's called us to do. So pick two or three people. Could be a neighbor that lives close by you. Could be somebody that you work with and you've not shared the gospel with them. Could be a family member. Maybe you have an aunt or an uncle or a cousin, but those are just some ideas. Could be maybe you have a goal that I do want to share the gospel with an absolute stranger. That's a good thing to do. We had to do it at the pastor's college, and I was scared to death. I had to go to the mall and just walk up to somebody and share the gospel with them. But it was good for me because it humbled me. I had to trust God. So maybe you want to do that. Maybe you just want to, I want to trust God to help me just to be faithful, and so I meet somebody just to share the gospel with them and not have to have this long history of relationship with them. That's good. That's great to do that as well. So pick two or three people. Actually, when we get together the next time. We're going to compile all those names, if you remember, like we did last year. And we're going to put those names on a list. And we're going to begin praying for those people on the list when we break down into groups to pray here. And then the prayer team can be praying for them. You can be praying for them, obviously, in your own home. So can you do that by next time? Have two or three people? Good. Yes, Ron. Good. Right. Good. Yep. Be praying for these people that God would move and work. Other thoughts or questions? And don't assume two things. One, don't assume, like Ron was sharing, that because somebody says they're a Christian, don't immediately, oh, okay, don't need to share the gospel with them. A lot of times people, there's this thought that I'm a Christian because my parents have always gone to church and I've gone to church. And that's big in our area. That's a challenge to overcome. So many people are churched in our area and they think everything's okay because they're going to church. So don't assume that anybody that you talk to is a Christian, first of all. Second thing is, when we write these names down, and we don't want to be legalistic, but let's believe that we're going to share the gospel with these people. I know last year, and that was the first year we've done it, seemed like lots of things just kind of came up, and people didn't get to share the gospel for this reason or that reason, including me. Those 3 weeks that we were supposed to have people over to dinner and share the gospel, there were scheduling conflicts with them. It never came together. And so I just want to be encouraging you now to be praying, to be trusting that you're going to be sharing the gospel with these people, and to be intentional. Don't wait until the last minute to start trying to have these people over to get to know them or to build relationship. And don't wait to get on the calendar with them something. You can look at your calendar for the church year and see when we're going to be doing those 5 weeks of evangelism training, and then there's a gap in there again, another 3 weeks. Get something on the calendar with them early. Have them, invite them for dinner or something early so that they get it on the calendar and then everything's not just falling apart at the last minute. Can we do that? Trust God to help us to do that as well. Good. All right, well, what we're going to take about 10 minutes and just break down into small groups of 4 to 5 people, and just here's some things to pray for, okay, as we're praying. First of all, that God would help us to be captivated by the gospel and the cross in such a way that our tongues follow, just what Mark Dever said. Secondly, pray that God would give us a heart for the nations and for lost souls, that we wouldn't just be, again, doing this out of duty, but that our hearts would long to see people saved, to see people come to Christ. There are hundreds and thousands of people in just around you all the time that are going to hell. And we have the privilege of being able to share the gospel and bring hope to them. So be praying that God would help us open our eyes to see that and recognize, you know, if apart from hearing the gospel, there's no hope for them. Okay? Pray that God would help us to be faithful. and what He has called us to do in the area of evangelism, as far as being faithful to share the gospel, faithful to memorize scriptures, faithful to be able to schedule times to get together with these people. Pray that as we share the gospel, that God would just intervene in a divine way, that His Spirit would be working in their hearts and lives, all of those things. So let's break up right now in the groups of 4 or 5, no more than 6. So we'll have some small groups praying about these things, and then I will close us out just before 2 o'clock, and we will be done. So thank you for your attention and time.